This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Just outside of Sacramento in the deadliest fire of all in California. Smart words from the First Lady, or some say way out of touch. Wow. It is always about the words, isn't it? After all, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has exploded once again. Nothing new there, right? Hey, hey, everybody. So we got votes being counted in Florida. We've got Mueller hanging around with this Russia investigation. Trump's answers to Mueller's questions expected pretty soon, according to a report that somebody sent me today, and I think pretty much that's known now all over the place, I would say, that the questions from the special counsel to the president relate only to Moscow's involvement into the presidential election and not to whether, you know, Trump may have tried to obstruct the investigation or not. Nothing like that. Just focused on the election. Remember, back in April, the New York Times reported on a series of questions Mueller wanted to ask Trump. The query supposedly based on notes taken by the legal team. So, I don't know. Is anything revealed? Is anything shocking? I'm going to say no, I don't think so. I don't. I don't think that we're going to see anything that's going to just blow us away. No. And then for Melania Trump, all of a sudden it's like, oh, the First Lady weighs in. You know, there's always that point in the administration where the First Lady weighs in on something, and then it becomes headline, headline fodder. Whether it's Laura Bush saying she was pro-choice, or Barbara Bush with comments about Hillary Clinton that were a little off color, that exploded, and whatever it is. So in this case, Mira Ricardel was 7 months into the job as Deputy National Security Advisor, and then First Lady Melania Trump issued a call for her dismissal and said the president should fire her, period. So Ricardel had a long list of enemies and had a reputation, and this is the problem, for shouting at people beneath her. And they say plotting against White House officials she didn't like, leaking stories about the administration's opponents to the press, that kind of stuff. So it sounds like she was a bully to me, or at least is being accused of being a little bit of a bully. Current and former colleagues of Ricardel's paint a very unflattering picture of her. And one colleague described her as someone who doesn't suffer fools or have a nuanced touch when it comes to navigating the what they called the shoals of internal politics. Don't you like those big D.C. words? A White House official was a little different, said that the Ricardel was as ideologically driven and obstinate. So obviously problems there. And there was a spat that happened with Mrs. Trump's trip to Africa. It was seating on the plane, the use of National Security Council resources. So that's how all of that happened. And so where do they go from there? There could be some first of all, does she get fired or not? And there could be some other heads that roll, and I don't think these are surprising, like John Kelly. His name has been mentioned many, many, many times as somebody who could be booted. So he's would be on the cut line as well. And then it's who's up next, right? Speaking of who's up next, we don't really know that in Florida. A judge is expected to extend the Palm Beach County recount deadline. Is that disastrous? So the current deadline was to have the recount finished by Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern. included in the recount extension for Palm Beach County would be the races for Senate, Governor, Ag Commissioner, and the State House District 89. Whew. Will we ever have an election midterm mixed in with presidential, whatever it is, where we say, oh, Florida's all in. Here's who's won the race. All the way down the list. These were the hotly contested races, and here's how it all finished. I don't know. It seems like we can never get it straight in Florida. So the bottom line is, if you don't have the percentage, it's the rule, it's the law, so you got to go, and it has to do the recount thing. And we'll see where that ends up. All these snafus. They're calling them the Dirty Dozen. The Dirty Dozen. Unbelievable vote snafus. It sounds like the title of a movie, right? How about just get it right, people? Get it right. All right, sadly, and it just seems like I am the bearer of bad news lately, and the bad news is that the death toll from the scariest, deadliest wildfire in California history has now risen to 48. It's expected to be even way higher than that. People are still missing. And this is from the North Fire, I'll call it. Campfire is what it is. And it's so sad, it's just breaking people's hearts to go in there and have to try to see if they find bodies. You know how many structures have been leveled? 8,817. And 7,600 of them were single-family homes. So they've got extra National Guard troops, all that kind of stuff going in. And you just hope it doesn't bubble up when they have 35% contain. And the Woolsey Fire started up again just west of Los Angeles. Drought conditions, it's pretty precarious. 30-foot brush and grass. I mean, it's just nasty. On the other side of this up north, they've got 150-foot trees they're dealing with. Yeah. So, with the forecast, low humidity and dry fuel moistures combined, the terrain, it impedes what they're trying to do, and it is very, very tough to get it done. Boy, oh boy. Major disaster declaration for the state. They need an expedited request. Those conditions are horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible. And it's affected way too many. So the U.S. Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, said he's going to visit California, and especially those areas impacted by the wildfires, obviously, the ones that hit the Woolsey Fire and up north. And it's going to be an eye-opener, I think. You see it, look, you look at it on television if you watch the news for fun, and you see the national headlines, you see how big those flames are and what happens. And it is scary, and I can't imagine you have your family in the car, young kids, whatever, however old the kids are, and you're just fleeing with the clothes on your back and maybe a few things. It goes back to that old question, what would you take if your house was on? Are you kidding? You just get out. I mean, you get out. Whatever you can grab, you grab the most important things, and then you just run, and because those people were running. Those people were jumping in cars, and they didn't make it out, some of them, a lot of them, in Northern California. It's like California just has black plumes over it, and then you see the scary red right behind it. We're bouncing at them. We're back with a numbers thing. We can count here on America Tonight.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I don't- did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protective building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
To think about Chick-fil-A delivering nationwide. Can you imagine this? So DoorDash, they're calling it, then 200,000, by the way, free chicken sandwiches. So they said on Friday they began delivering, you know, with their 11,000 restaurants, at least that many, and they called it this nationwide partnership with DoorDash, the online food delivery service. And the company said the deliveries would be made within a 10-minute radius of the locations. Companies are giving away 200,000 free chicken sandwiches ordered through DoorDash until next Tuesday to celebrate the partnership. Wow. You just need to use the promo code. I'm not advertising for them. KFA delivery on orders of at least $5 made after 10:30 a.m. You know how many people could just order chicken sandwiches? I don't know. Is that economical? I'm just thinking. Is that economical? Okay, so Chick-fil-A offering delivery. You won't have to leave your house anymore. Just do some leg lifts, eat your chicken sandwich. I think a lot of people will take them up on that. I think a lot of people will do the delivery thing. I mean, let's face it. That's why... Well, that's the problem, right? So drive-through windows, delivery, if you're working, you don't have a lot of time, it's the perfect scenario. You can't get there because you're overwhelmed with what you're doing. So then you have the food come to you. Only it's not like Chinese delivery or some other kind of food. It's actually fast food. That's really fast. Okay, just order that up. Don't even have to go through the drive-thru window. All I will say this. The Chick-fil-A's by me, it's like they're giving away something free because I've never seen windows so jammed. You drive by and it's jam, 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 jam. Early in the morning, midday, it's crazy. I think that they're just printing money at the two, frankly, by me. So is it that we're tired of beef? It's just that good. I don't know. Just saying. How about this Sears? It used to be a staple, Sears. The last Sears store I went in, my mother was still alive. That shows you, though. That's been 5 years, and that was in New Jersey. Sears closing another 40 stores. They are trying to survive Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and it affects 29 Sears, 11 Kmarts. Remember, they're the same. They're already closing 188 stores, 142 in October. That will close around the end of 2018. 46 were announced in August. I mean, add this up. How many stores are left? A few. It was so famous back in its day as America's retailer. But it just fails and fails and fails again. Because you know why? How do you beat Amazon? How do you beat Amazon when they can get it to you bigger, badder, faster and cheaper? I don't know. Pretty tough. And speaking of Amazon, some people think it's a ruse. Others say, no, no, that's what happens. So for 14 months, there were 230 cities that were trying to become the next sites of Amazon's second headquarters. Amazon didn't go with one. They chose two areas that have been considered front runners, even among the 20 finalists announced on January 18th. So Washington, D.C., Arlington, Virginia specifically, and New York City are going to be the new headquarters for Amazon. They're going to hire a lot of people, 50,000 high-paying jobs, they say, 25,000 at each spot. I mean, Amazon is the king of everything, right? Jeff Bezos, they own everything, everything. D.C. was one of the odds-on favorites that I mentioned, though. And so, 9 proposed building sites within a 28-mile radius of the U.S. Capitol. Man, oh, man. And Arlington County and the city of Alexandria working together to get that, land that Amazon account. That is also very, very big, my friends. Very, 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 very big. And Amazon just keeps doing it. They just keep figuring out ways to get it done, to stay in the conversation and to win more business. How about Ryanair? Ryanair flies, and the plane was impounded. 149 passengers were kicked off. Why is this? Because it was an unpaid bill. What? Did you hear what I said? An unpaid bill. So according to the BBC, the Directorate General for Civil Aviation ordered the plane grounded until the Irish low-cost carrier paid $610,000 in a bill for regional subsidies for flights made between 2008 and 2009. I guess it had only paid back half of its $1.1 million bill. Wow. So if they want to fly, they got to pay. They didn't comment on the impounded plane, but it's a public relations nightmare. I mean, they've been criticized for a couple of different things. They're absolutely going to be criticized for that. That's for sure. Impounding the plane? Whoo! Can you imagine? All right, so I'm just kind of wondering, could you live in 37,000 square feet? I'll ask Andy if he's around. Andy, are you around? Are you within earshot?
Yeah.
Could you live in a 37-square-foot mansion in Palm Beach, Florida?
No.
It's too big, right? Too much room.
It's too much. It costs too much to heat.
That's what I think. Or for air conditioning. So yeah, you and I must be practical.
Florida winter.
Yeah, Florida winter. You and You and I think alike. I'll tell you what, the air conditioning would make up for the Florida, the non-Florida winter. They have this mansion has 13 bedrooms, 14 baths, 4 powder rooms. The master suite has views of the ocean, blah, blah, blah. There's a gym, a cabana, all that kind of stuff. Laundry facility, sitting room. The house is owned by a producer known for Broadway productions, and they listed it, and I looked at this house. It is so crazy, crazy big. I mean, just, again, what you'd have to have a lot of friends to invite over. I suppose it's pretty. It's got all marble, and it almost looks like you're in Italy. It does. It looks like you're in Italy. That's what it looks like. So if you have $135 million and you would like this property, you check it out. It's got a bar. The rooms are decorated. I don't know if the furnishings actually, though, come with it. If the furnishings come with it, it might be worth it. It's got an opulent pool, of course, that overlooks the ocean. I mean, the views are spectacular. I'll give it that. And it is sitting on a gorgeous piece of property. $135 million. What does it cost to clean it? Somebody has to clean that sucker. You got to have money to clean it. You got to have money to cool it off and everything in between. The sprinkler system isn't working. What would the sprinkler system cost?
I would offer free housing to clean it.
Yes, you can come live with us. We have an extra maid's quarters, but I want it cleaned every day. That's what you do for a living. Yeah, I kind of agree with you, though, because I know it would cost a fortune. I mean, it would be brutal to try to
cook for me if you want to live there, too.
How about you can do everything for me if you want to live there? You want to be my driver? Driving Miss Kate. I love it. I will do it. I'll say this.
It's like servants' quarters in the Downton Abbey.
It is, Downton Abbey. And speaking of Downton Abbey, it's funny you say that, because we have Hugh Bonneville, who was Mr. Cawley. He is joining us on the show at the tail end of this hour, and we talk about Downton Abbey. He was in a bunch of movies, too, and he's doing something for a Christmas special with a Mormon Tabernacle Choir. So I had a chance to have a conversation with him, and it was pretty cool. That show was so popular on Sunday nights, people scurrying to go home, because they only had a handful of episodes, and you couldn't get them on replay, and then you'd have to wait, and you know how that is. We're also, if you're into certain series, the Netflix thing is so easy, right? You just binge a few of them, and that's it. But you couldn't do that with Downton Abbey. All right, so hang on, everybody. A lot of cool stuff coming your way next here on America Tonight.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Friends and family are mourning the horrific deaths of dozens of victims who were killed in the massive wildfire that spread through Butte County last Thursday. The town of Paradise in California is a mountainous region with few roads leading out due to steep canyons that surround it. Over 200 people are still unaccounted for as emergency crews put out hotspots and try to locate and identify bodies. CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Mike Wallen.
It's tough being in a small neighborhood like I live in, and a lot of the homeowners, close to half, lost their home, and about half made it through.
President Trump today offered prayers for the victims and praised the efforts of fire crews after criticism last week about firefighter suppression efforts.
I want to thank the firefighters and FEMA and first responders for their incredible courage in the face of very grave danger.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
The premise of this book, it is so cool, and you're going to love it too. We have in our virtual green room Joseph Brisbane, and his novel is called Marvin's Garden. So it really mixes in humor, rural small town America. It's told by a dead woman who, when she was alive, wanted to kill her sadistic, greedy, gluttonous husband. Aren't you just already hooked into this? Joe, I think you have definitely hit into a nerve of mine, and I think some of the people listening to this show, because I love the whole idea that you have this character and the way that you told it, etc. So let's dive into Marvin's Garden. First of all, how did you get the idea for this?
Well, I've got a distant cousin who was in a situation like this, and she's no longer with us. And then I was watching Sunset Boulevard and watching Joe Gillis face down in that swimming pool, and I thought, what if I told this story from a point of view of somebody who had died? And then I told my older daughter is a police officer, and I told her what I was doing, and I said, can you give me a toe tag? And she said, sure. So she mailed it to me, and that's how things got started.
Wow. So when you started to have these ideas, and I love how you pulled that together. You see a movie, you're thinking about it, your cousin, the experience, that whole thing. When you started to think about all of that, how long did it take you from the second you were pulling those collecting those thoughts together, putting it on the paper, how long did it take you to pull this all together?
Well, I wrote a short story, and that took me about 3 weeks. And then I just laid it aside, and I said, you know, this isn't finished. Somehow or other, I got to kill Marvin off. And then about 2 years later, I really had something that I thought I could publish.
And what was the reaction to the book? What's the reaction to Marvin's Garden with your friends?
Wow, that's kind of tough. Your friends want to remain your friends. I think some of them have damned it with faint praise, but some people have been pretty excited about it.
I love that. And as you took you take the readers on this journey, and you take them through a lot of different twists and turns. When you finally get toward the end, did you know, aha, I haven't. I know where I'm going to take you. Because I think, and you know this too, Joe, you have that strong beginning, the meat is in the middle, and then what do you leave us with? What was it like putting this all to a conclusion, bringing it together at the end of this book anyway?
Well, of course, Marvin's killed by this horse, but I wanted the horse to have a dignified death. And I'd seen a movie about how Norsemen would they would die, and they'd put their put his body, you know, in a little boat, and then they'd shoot him with flaming arrows, and he'd, you know, sail off into the sea, and he'd eventually get into the water. So it was ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and that kind of thing.
Yeah. The interesting thing is also, I want to weave this in, and we're talking to Joe Brisbane, and his novel is Marvin's Garden. You were, as a kid, somebody who liked to write, and then you were even a journalist at one point. And then you also went into the financial world of securities for a securities corporation in Iowa. I think there's like sort of a message in that, okay, so I did something that I was inspired by. I did something that made me a lot of money, financial success. And now I'm coming out and I'm saying, what else is it that I want to do? So I think there's a message for people listening in that, right? That you keep pursuing what else is burning inside of you while you're having success in other areas that are equally as interesting.
Well, I had four kids, 5 years top to bottom among them, and I had to put them through college, and that, you know, took a fair amount of money. And then when I retired, you know, I finally had time on my hands, but I don't fill out forms saying I'm retired. I say I'm self-employed because I write books, and I play jazz, folk, and blues guitar.
Wow. So not only a novelist, but you do the whole jazz thing and blues, etc. So do you do pickup? Do you just go and find places where you can play? Do you do that kind of thing? Do you just do it for fun? What do you do with that?
Well, I've had little groups, trios, quartets, and things like that. But lately, it's just been single gigs. I had gigs 3 days in a row over the Labor Day weekend playing union songs and things like that.
How fun. And, is there something
you... And I had a gig last weekend just playing peace songs, anti-war songs. Yeah.
Cool. Is there a way that you'll... weave that, like the blues, the jazz, the ragtime, that kind of stuff into a novel? Because I think you're going to keep churning them out.
Well, I'm working on one that does include all that stuff, because these two guys are friends, and one of them has to go to jail. So, and then they write back and forth and swap lyrics and things like that.
I love it. Do you find, because you've lived in different places where, you know, you got a degree at the University of Chicago, so obviously you were there, you were at Drake, you were, if you take that and then you take what you did in the securities world and you mix all of that up, I mean, that's, they say you write about what you know. That also has to, I would assume, bubble to the surface too. And then, of course, the Oklahoma connection, being born and raised in Enid, Oklahoma. So you got some really, you got rural areas, you got urban areas, and that makes for some intriguing, I think, conversation.
Yeah, it really does. But I try to remain humble, and I remind myself that no matter where I've lived, whether it was in Enid or Chicago or Des Moines or Iowa City, I never lived farther than 30 miles from the Rock Island line.
That's a good way to put it, the Rock Island line. And we have a lot of listeners in that area, so they'll be completely familiar with that, with what you're talking about. When you do a novel, and like this, where you have the character and these flashbacks by Madge Duckworth, and who introduces herself as Marvin's wife, and then you go through that whole thing and take people on that journey, and then you wrap up. Like I was saying, the ending's important. You wrap up the novel. Do you? Because you're going to start to have a routine if you don't. Do you have a routine? Is there like a celebration dance you do? You know, Ernest Hemingway used to take everyone and his brother out. And then there's other James Patterson. He would just start working on the next one immediately. I mean, it's really interesting how people kind of celebrate, because some people say it's sort of like giving birth in a different way when you finish a project that you're so close to, where you get involved with the characters. Do you have anything that you do?
I don't. Well, I know when the books come from the publisher and I open up the box and there's the book, then I really kind of feel elated. And I go to Prairie Lights, which is a great bookstore here in Iowa City, and I schedule a reading and invite all my friends and try and get as much media coverage that way. And that's a great way to celebrate.
Boy, no kidding.
I really like inscribing books to people, and I always date them, and I said, 20, 30 years from now, you can have your kids or your grandchildren take this to the Antiques Roadshow, and it might be worth $20,000 to $30,000. Who knows?
I like that. So you have high aspirations. That's good. When you go into the bookstores, and you know where they take the first editions and that kind of thing, and they have them locked. They're behind like a locked case, and then someone pulls out the gloves, and then you have to look at them. Oh, that's hilarious. But how cool is that? So you do a reading. So you do have a ritual, and you invite friends so they know that it's coming out.
Yeah.
And this was your first novel, and you've already thrown out a couple of ideas of some of what's coming up next. And I know the second one is Skip Day. And that's just getting out there, and that's something completely different from Marvin's Garden, right?
Yeah, it's something that happened to me over a 3-day period as I was graduating from high school with me and a couple of friends. And I tell people it's a combination of Animal House and American Graffiti, and with a little more thought involved, of course.
I love that. I mean, we're doing this thing. PBS is doing this thing, the Great American Novel. Have you seen that? Because you definitely like books. You have to tune into that because it's all this
kind of thing. I haven't seen it, but I will.
This conversation about books. And I think people are getting back to really reading. I mean, even actually getting the physical copy of the book, even though it's great to be able to get it digitally, too. So when somebody wants to pick up your book, Marvin's Garden, they can have that book in their hand or do it the other way. What do you hope the reader takes away?
From Marvin's Garden?
Yeah.
I think, especially after those Senate judiciary hearings last week, that they take away that men have to respect women more and listen to them better than they have in the past, because they've got some talents and some tendencies and some aspirations that men don't have, and at least that's been my experience.
What a perfect place to end this. Marvin's Garden, pick it up, run, go get it now. Joe Brisbane, pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it.
Used to be alive in my mouth, trying to find a way out. Strange how it was I could never make them stay or go away. Willful were they and caught in their clutch was I.
Mo
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Epigenetics and the Sins of the Father. God Said, Man Said.com. U.S. colleges, new mental institutions. Close Satan's secret door. God Said, Man Said.com. Mummies and the Sons of Ham. Alcohol and Christians. Geologists say yes to crucifixion. God Said, Man Said.com. Which religion? Which Bible? Quantum physics to Adam's rib. Hours of text and streaming audio. God Said, Man Said.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Because I never had a Sunday free. And I'm talking about Hugh Bonfil. He's in our virtual green room right now. You remember him from a lot of different things, but including his role as Robert Crawley on Downton Abbey. Just a, it was such a huge show. It still continues to be a huge show. And I also remember him from Paddington. Paddington the first one and Paddington 2 and Notting Hill and the Monuments Men and the list of great roles that Hugh has been a part of, you know, movies, etc., stage, television, is very, very long. And this time around, you're going to get to see Hugh with Tony Award-winning actress, singer, Sutton Foster. They're part of, this time around, the Christmas with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, easy for me to say after five cups of coffee. And it's a 60-minute version you'll be able to see on PBS and BYU TV. So, Hugh, thanks so much for popping on.
Thank you very much. Very nice to talk to you.
So here's the thing. Before we dive into this Christmas special, I have to ask you this. You might have heard me say that in that long-winded introduction, that you did ruin my Sundays, but you made so many people happy. That show was an incredible phenomenon. Do you still have people ask you questions about Downton Abbey?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry it ruined your Sunday, but I'm sure there was some good football you could have flicked over on the other side. But, yeah, lots of people seem to like the show, and we managed to sustain six seasons of it. And, yes, it's remarkable, even now, 3 years on, the affection that people seem to have for it and the clamour to have more. In fact, we've just, as you may know, we've just finished shooting a movie version, and which is a continuation of the story, not a sort of recap, and that'll be coming out in cinemas next September. But it's been wonderful how it's been taken to hearts all around the world, and I'm just, you know, delighted that the Crawley family and all the people who work with them have found a place in so many people's hearts. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And when I said it ruined my Sunday, it ruined it because I watched it constantly and I ignored everything else in my life. So not to confuse you, all the things I was supposed to do didn't get done because I was glued to the show. I mean, even to the point where I was a binge watcher. You know, that's an addiction when you binge watch something, and I binge watched all of it, and I couldn't wait to see, especially because I loved your character, I couldn't wait to see what happened at the end of it. Was that the best kept secret? It was probably hard for you to keep some of the script secret because people wanted to know, right?
They do, yeah. And it's a weird thing, isn't it? People, particularly, if you don't mind me saying so, you know, journalists and people in the media want to spoil stories. But but the whole pleasure of watching shows like that is you don't know what's happening next. And I think the greatest coup we pulled off was when Lady Sybil died in season three, and we all obviously knew what was coming, and it was a real coup that it didn't leak to the extent that when we were saying goodbye to Jessica, who played Lady Sybil, we all went to the pub, you know, to have a party as a send off, and we put up happy birthday signs all over the pub so that people would be hoodwinked into thinking we were celebrating her birthday, and it paid off. But in terms of the final season, another nice secret was my rumbling ulcer, which burst out over the dinner table in the most ungentlemanly fashion. So things like that were fun for the audience to be either moved or shocked by or to laugh at.
I love that. And now you get this chance to be part of a big tradition, this Christmas with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And it's the 15th time they've done it, Hugh. I don't have to tell you that. And some amazing people have been part of it. Some really incredible narrators. Is that... not intimidating, but is it pretty awe-inspiring, I guess, for you to be in this role?
Absolutely, and it sort of came out of the blue. And I'd heard of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, but I haven't, you know, seen the Christmas shows because of not living in the States. And so I wasn't quite prepared for the scale of it. And so when Sutton and I got together in Salt Lake City to rehearse and meet the choir and the orchestra and be in the extraordinary venue they have there, I felt like a tiny little ant because I realized how vast this thing was. And so I was intimidated at first, but then, you know, the warmth of the welcome that we got, that both Sutton and I got from everyone involved, was quite astonishing. And even the venue, which does seat 21,000 people, is the biggest theatre I've ever been in, but it has a strange intimacy about it, and you really did feel you were connecting to everyone in that hall. And the choir just are so sublime to listen to, and are such professionals, even though they're amateurs and they're volunteers, and the same with the orchestra, you very quickly realized you were dealing with the best of the best, and that everyone was at the top of their game, and so you better step up to the plate. And this again, the sense of scale was quite huge, but the intimacy of the material and the warmth of what the show is all about was really at the heart of it. It made it a very special experience, and I felt very, very flattered and very honored to be there.
Yeah. How did you get tapped for that? How did you get involved?
It was the most peculiar story, which charming story. Mac Wilberg is the musical director of the choir, an amazing man, an amazing talent in his own right. He said he was in London a few years ago, and he happened to walk past the Albert Hall and saw there was a concert on, and he had an evening free, so he popped in, and I was hosting the concert that night, and he got out his little notebook and thought, he'll do one day, and two years later, I got an invitation to go and join them in Salt Lake. So it was a nice piece of serendipity that a musical director looking for some entertainment in London found it and gave me a call, so that was very nice.
Yeah. For you, Hugh, and, you know, as somebody who's busy working in films and stage, etc., and productions like this one, you must carve out some time for Christmas. What does Christmas mean to you?
Christmas really is, obviously, in the States, Thanksgiving is more of a sort of family drawing together of the family so you can all throw buns at each other. We reserve that pleasure for Christmas, and for me, it's about drawing the family together. And I lost someone dear to me a few Christmases ago, so it has an added poignancy. So it's really a time of good family reflection and looking forward to the future and reminding all of us of our. Of our common humanity and looking out for those less fortunate than ourselves. And, there's a lot of misery in the world, and trying to spread a little bit of brightness in the darkness is an important thing. And I'm reminded of that at Christmas.
Okay, last one for you. This might be tough. Who is funnier, Hugh Grant, you work with him, or George Clooney?
Oh, that's so unfair. That's so unfair. It's a tie. I think hearing some of the stories about what George gets up to in terms of winding up his friends, I think they are unmatched. You know, the way he winds up, people like Matt Damon and with some of the antics he does and sending out fake scripts to people and teasing people like that, I think is hilarious. But both he and Hugh are very, very funny people, and I feel very lucky to have worked with them.
I love it. Last one, where can people go for more information? It's Tuesday, November 13th. That'll air, right?
That's right, yeah. Monday, I think it's Monday, December 17th.
Oh,
it'll go
yes,
on PBS.
Yes, 17th.
So can,
yeah.
Well, anyway, whatever. Go to pbs.org/Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and there will be more correct information there.
I don't know what date it is.
My dog.
I love it. Oh, that's funny. What kind of dog?
I have two Tibetan Terriers, and the jury's out as to whether they're geniuses or really stupid.
I like it. Hugh, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Appreciate it.
All right. All the best. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.